To move to Portugal or not to move to Portugal? That is the question. Or, well, at least one of them. Roll that intro. Hello there, welcome back to another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter for another Friday night. Here to talk a little bit more about moving abroad, living abroad, but specifically moving to Portugal. Some common questions that I know are out there about moving to Portugal as well as living in Portugal. And the absolute first thing that needs to get out of the way is to move here. How do you move here? What do you need to do? What is the first step to make Portugal your home? That is to make sure how you can get a visa to legally be here. Or if maybe you're a European citizen, you don't need it. Or if you're eligible to get citizenship in another country, maybe get that citizenship first and then figure out if Portugal is the right place for you, or if another country or this or that or the other. With an EU passport, you have those choices that you can make. So definitely don't just hop on a plane. Do your research. In a lot of situations, people will need to apply for something before getting here. However, there are some people out there who can find themselves in a situation where they may actually be able to apply directly in Portugal itself. One of the most common questions that I've gotten in DMs from you guys is about if you need a car in Portugal. And I'm going to say that really depends on where you are. If you're living out in the countryside, you're going to need a car. No questions asked. However, if you're just outside of, say, like a place where I live, like Braga, you may actually be able to get something like an Uber or a Bolt, but getting them to come to you is going to be hit and miss. You may have to wait for long periods of time, especially if it's like on a Saturday or something. I have some friends that live outside of the city, just kind of maybe about 10 minutes by car away. On a Saturday night, I have had really, really bad luck with trying to get back into the city. Was able to do it, but very difficult. I actually, in the end, had to go through three different apps because two of the main apps that I normally use weren't doing anything. And then I tried a third one that I'd never used before. Finally, that third one worked. But also, it depends on the type of lifestyle that you're looking for. Are you looking to move towards the center of the city or even a place like Lisbon? You may not want to have a car just because getting around could be a little bit annoying. And there's actually a pretty decent metro system there, depending on how far away your home is from that stop. It could, in some cases, actually be worthwhile to have a car, even in a city like that. But is it necessary to have a car if you want to live in Portugal? No. I've mentioned this in previous episodes. I have a lifestyle that I've gotten used to being without a car and kind of prefer it that way. I can see some situations where it would be necessary though. So even though not necessarily for any specific reason other than it's just a hassle, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's the end all be all. And there is definitely a place for having a car in this country. But parking could be an issue depending on where you are. In a city like Braga, it could be more annoying to try and drive than it could be to just walk to where you're getting to. But even with that said, there are a lot of people, even if they're going just a couple blocks over, they will be driving their car to get there. Also, public transportation in Portugal tends to be pretty good. Sometimes it really depends on where you are and where you're trying to go. Sometimes you'll have options for buses and trains getting you to the same place. And sometimes one of them is easier than the other. Sometimes one of them is more convenient than the other. So you have to take these things into consideration and see which works best for your specific trip, depending on where you're leaving from, where you're going to, where the stations are, and so on. I can say that there are certain locations that I would need to get to in Porto that for me would be more convenient to get to by train, just because it gets me a lot closer to my final destination rather than the bus, or at least in the central train station. There's another main train station, which is a little bit further out, which is the busier station, but that's not as convenient for some of the places that I would need to go to when I have to go. But then even if you want to get from Braga to the airport with a private transfer in Italy for the same distance, I paid maybe 250 euros, whereas here it was 50 euros last December, and it went up another 5 euros a few months ago. So it's reasonable. And that was a private transfer for a big giant van for basically, what would it have been? Maybe 8 people, 9 people, 10 people. So if you are moving with a lot of luggage, this is something worth considering. But even if you wanted to take a bus, I would say maybe between 6 and 8 euros. I haven't taken it before and I forget the price off the top of my head, but the pricing for these things is very, very reasonable. Another thing, though, that I hear from other Americans or sometimes on expat groups on Facebook or different situations, even people that have messaged me privately, is Portugal safe? And the quick and short answer is, generally speaking, very much generalizing, it is a very safe place, one of the safest countries in the world. But is every place perfect? No. Of course, with YouTube, the way that it is, certain words have to be avoided. So I can't go into so much detail, but there are certain petty crimes that happen or certain things that we'll call them happy, good, feel time, herbal remedies, and other substances which people may ingest for the happy, good feelings aren't necessarily criminalized. Well, I mean, it depends on which one, but it does exist here. It's not like it doesn't exist. It's just not criminalized in the same way it is in other parts of the world. And again, because of YouTube, I have to phrase this very oddly, but if we're talking about things that happen with boom, boom sticks, it can happen. It can happen. It's not like it's unheard of, but it's uncommon. It's very uncommon when you compare it to a country like the US, many other different countries in the world that have much larger problems when it comes to the boom boom sticks. But even getting back to the happy good feel time stuff, you do see it being sold in tourist, well, not it's complicated. You see the fake substances that are trying to imitate the real thing being sold. I wouldn't say openly, but it's not like it's not open. I've seen it a lot more in Lisbon than I have in Porto, but even at the train station in Porto, there was this like guy maybe in his 60s or so, and he pulls out this bag just stuffed to the brim of something that was very leafy and green. But the thing is, it's not actually what you think it is. And that's one of the reasons why it happens, is because they're actually selling you something that is fake. Sometimes it's chopped up bullion cubes or, for example, powdered sugar. That's why there maybe isn't so much of a crackdown on some of these things. But like anywhere, of course, if you're in a city, keep an eye over your shoulder. Be aware of your surroundings. Don't just relax. Keep an eye on your pockets, your purse, your belongings. Don't just leave something. This next little section, it's a couple of different questions that are all tied together. So the first one is, do apartments come with air conditioning? And in Portugal, it's a mix. You will find some apartments that do have, but some of the more modern apartments, some of the ones that have at least been redone more recently, will have them, but not all. So when you are hunting for an apartment, be sure that's something that you look for, because it's not a given. And then even if it's an older building, it's not guaranteed that the windows will be double paned. That makes a huge difference in winter and summer. So make sure that you keep an eye out for that. And then the same goes for heating. I can't say that I've seen central heating in buildings here so much. It's more autonomous, unlike in Italy, for example. In some of the older buildings, you may have like a communal heater, and then either you pay a rate that's dependent on your specific use from your apartment, or you pay one portion of the full building. Those can really get messy when you're sharing the total for the whole building. So it is nice that you do find this here, that some apartments, if they have built-in heaters, though, they're going to be the wall-mounted units. Nothing is going to be really central. I haven't seen central air or heating, I don't think, ever in my experience in Portugal. And like, it's not just that I've been here since December. Like, even the trips that I've taken here, I don't think I've ever seen it before, unless it was like in a hotel room and it was central-ish for that room. But of course, something that you can do for heating, I'm a fan of the electric oil heaters, not coil heaters. I'll put a picture of it up on the screen. What they do is they heat up the oil inside, and it uses electricity to warm it up. And then once it reaches the right temperature, then it shuts off. The oil holds on to the heat, and that way you're consuming less. Whereas if it's a regular coil heater, it's just burning through electricity, going through. Whereas this, it uses it when it's necessary to kind of keep that same sort of temperature level. But something that can also be used for, which gets into the other question, is about if you have washers and dryers in apartments here. That can be also another thing, that it's not necessarily guaranteed, or it's not guaranteed that you'll have both. Some places you'll only have a washing machine, and what a lot of people do is they'll hang their clothing. And even if you have a dryer, of course, running that dryer could potentially be a little bit on the pricey side. So it is worthwhile having just a rack. That's something that you can very easily buy. You can get it like supermarkets or other stores that sell things cheap. You can find them there. It's really easy. But what you can do is you can actually use the heater and dry your clothes at the same time in winter. I've done that before. And just the one thing you do have to keep in mind is that you could actually put the heater under the clothes rack, but it's going to let a lot of the moisture out into the air. So it'll become very humid. And that can actually be a bit of a problem in Portuguese apartments, or I mean, really anywhere in the world. But because humidity can already be a little bit on the high side here, that can lead to problems with having mold. So having a dehumidifier in Portugal actually could be quite necessary to have. But then you find a lot of the older Portuguese have figured out a system that they open up their shutters during certain times of day to let in the hot air, and that they close it before it's whatever. I don't fully understand it. Still figuring it out. But even with that said, I did make it through last winter without a dehumidifier. But this winter, I may want to have one running at least for a portion of the day. But another thing that I know a lot of Portuguese people do is just in general, soup is a thing here. Like it's really very much a Portuguese thing, but especially in winters, Portuguese really, from what I've been told by my Portuguese friends, get really heavy into soup. So many different kinds of soups. I mean, one of them that I really like is called caldo verde. It's, I would guess basically it's potato leek soup pretty much, but then you have a slice of chorizo kind of at the bottom, just that's sunken down into it. It's delicious. And even the strange thing is, not that I'm saying you should go to McDonald's, but even at McDonald's in Portugal, they have this fresh soup that you can get. Definitely needs a bit of salt, but it doesn't taste like it's a pre-packaged, pre-frozen thing. It actually tastes something like what you might get at another low-cost, kind of medium to low-end Portuguese soup place. And you find soup places all over. Even they have soup chains here in Portugal. That's how much of a thing it is. So definitely worth trying soups in winter in Portugal. Another question that I see come up quite often is about banking here. Is it necessary to have a bank account? And yes, for some people, depending on what type of visa that you're getting, you may have to have a bank account. But if you're coming here, say, as a European who isn't required to have a bank account here, do you need it? Not necessarily, but it will make certain things easier if you have to pay bills. But even with bills, it's not like you have to sign up for a direct debit. Certain things like maybe internet, home internet, you might have to. And especially if you want a contract, even for a cell phone, electricity actually, interestingly enough, can be paid every month just through a system here that they have called MBWay, or you can go to the post office. It depends on how you're set up with the company. And also, like I've mentioned in the past, if your apartment is hooked up for gas, it might not necessarily be through a gas line that comes into your apartment. It could be in gas canisters. So that's another thing you have to take into consideration. Are you going to be paying a bill, or are you going to have to go and buy canisters, or are you going to be able to get the canisters delivered? How's that all going to work? These are things that you should take into consideration. But maybe I'll do an episode on banking in Portugal in the future, because that's one thing that I would say, even comparing it to Italy, is actually a little bit more complicated here. Definitely doable. But if you're interested in something like that, let me know in the comment section down below the video on YouTube. And maybe that'll have to be an upcoming episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. But a thing that I know is very commonly asked about Portugal is, do you have to speak Portuguese? Can you get by with English? And again, this depends on where you are, like having a car. If you're in the cities, I've actually had experiences when trying to speak Portuguese that I had someone respond to me in English telling me that they didn't speak Portuguese. So is that going to be the thing that you find at all the stores? No. In a place like Braga, you're going to find some people that do, but a lot of people don't, but especially younger people, even if maybe it's not so great, you'll be able to get through a situation. But like I've always said, learn the language. It makes such a huge difference in your experience from day to day. If you can at least show that you're trying, people will meet you halfway. But just generally speaking, the Portuguese are so welcoming and so helpful and so kind. It's really amazing to see. But when you are making that effort, they make even more of an effort. So just take that into consideration. Definitely worthwhile. But make sure if you're learning Portuguese, don't learn Brazilian Portuguese, although it will help you. European Portuguese is a completely different thing. But of course, with some similarities, but the accent is very different. Some of the grammar is very different. And the way that sentences are formed, a different subject for a different day. But things to keep in mind. Definitely learn the language, but you may be able to get through some situations where people will be able to assist you in shops or banks or so on in English. Object, what you should bring with you. Should you bring electronics? Should you bring things when you're moving here? For some people, it's just going to be easiest pack up a couple of suitcases and land and just rebuy everything here. But of course, maybe you've gone through your life. You have some things that mean something to you. You have some art or albums or furniture. Furniture is one of those things that can be a little tricky. Actually, I have a story. One of my family members years ago in America was taking an Italian course, and their Italian teacher came right off the boat from Italy and started teaching an Italian class, like one of these language schools that you see everywhere. And this teacher brought all of their Italian furniture because it was like this great, wonderful Italian furniture. And they put it into their American home, and it felt like dainty and tiny. Just really, really small in this large American home. So that's another thing to consider. And I mentioned this either last week or the week before, so very recently in an episode, that if you want to get a feel for if your furniture will even fit here, you might want to like put some tape on the floor or something, because it could actually be way too big and way too cumbersome for an apartment or even a home in this country. Again, even like I've mentioned with refrigerators, there's a classification on some electronics, home domestic electronics websites, that just says American refrigerators because they're that big by comparison. But I'm not saying that you should even bring a refrigerator here, because that is going to run into an electrical issue. In the US, it's 110 to 120 volts, whereas in Europe, it's 220 to 240. I believe that Portugal is 220, although there could be parts that go up to 240, but I could be completely wrong about that. This is just off the top of my head. So if you know better than I do, feel free to let me know down in the comment section. But you do find that a lot of electronics, like small electronics, like phones, laptops, have a transformer built in. So be sure that you look at your charging brick. I wish I had one up. But actually, I've got a charging brick right here. I'll take a picture of it and show what to keep an eye out for, because this, for example, would be able to work in both North America as well as Europe, but you'll just need to either replace the wire, and some things like a battery charger like this, they'll have a figure eight cable and you just have to unplug it and just replace it. And that's easy. Or you need to buy an adapter. But if it's something that is like a blender that doesn't have that transformer built into it where it can go from 110 to 240, you would have to buy a transformer depending on the amount of watts and amps and all of this. Take that into mind, and they can be pricey. So sometimes in some cases, it can actually be more worthwhile just to repurchase the European version, especially because sometimes adapters can get loose and you don't want to have to put a new plug on. I mean, it's not hard to rewire some of these things, but if you don't know what you're doing, better to take someone who knows what they're doing. But rewiring and changing the plug on the end is not going to change the voltage that the device itself can accept. Also, when we're talking about certain things, it's worthwhile price shopping. You do find that there are some things in the States that are very cheap by comparison to Europe, but then sometimes you do find things that are cheaper out here. Lately, especially with the dollar euro conversion, I've actually been seeing some electronics in Europe coming in at a lower price than what they have been in America, where it's always historically kind of been the other way around, where it was a little less expensive to buy it in the US. So depending on what you're wanting, although it depends also if you're wanting a laptop, for example, with an American keyboard, or even a computer and you want to buy an American keyboard, buying one of those is not necessarily the most convenient out here. So if you're a Windows user, PC, Linux even, and you need your American keyboard, definitely something I recommend if you're very used to it. Hard to switch over. I've tried before to switch to a couple different keyboards. I can do it, but there's just certain things that I can just go a little faster because I have my little muscle memory from the American keyboards that I use, especially for certain shortcuts that I use when working. So it can be worthwhile having an American keyboard brought with you. Hard to find them online here. But one little, I don't want to call hack, but one little trick is that if you are an Apple user and you order directly from Apple, you can actually order an American keyboard from them, from the factory. So like even a laptop, sometimes it could take a little bit longer to get to you, but these things do exist. And now even like because in Portugal itself, you find no actual Apple stores. It's all premium resellers or Apple shops that are inside of other stores. And as far as I'm aware, actually everything from Apple is shipped from Italy, or at least a lot of things are shipped from Italy, but they're actually based in Ireland. So if you have a company here, there's some benefits to that. Actually, I can talk about that in a future episode, but actually if you have a company, it can actually lead to certain situations where the pricing that you can find here could potentially be better than what you might find in the US. And with that, this is where I am going to round out this episode. So of course, a huge thank you to those of you who helped to make these episodes possible through rafaeldifuria.com/Patreon, patreon.com/rafaeldifuria, as well as the one-time donations through rafaeldifuria.com/support, as well as the purchase of the shirts, mugs, onesies, and more. Thank you all so very much for helping this project to be able to continue. Of course, also a thank you to those of you who've left your thoughts down in the comment section below on YouTube, as well as liked and shared. It all really does help the project to be able to continue. So a huge thank you to those of you who have been supporting this project. Of course, as always, I'm Rafael Di Furia. Stay safe and healthy out there. This has been another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, and I will see you all next time. Later.